You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Not such a happy Tuesday in Timberwolves land. This is the post-game podcast from Wolves Magic on Monday night. We're going to talk all about that game here in just a minute. And there's a lot to say. If you wanted somebody that's going to sit here and say the season's over and it's the same old Wolves, you're not going to get that today. If you wanted somebody to tell you not to worry about it, you're not going to get that either. I'm going to tell it straight how I see it after this game. And I think both reactions are certainly knee-jerk. And per usual, we're going to land somewhere in the middle because I think that certainly an 82-game season and one bad loss and yet a bad loss to a bad team, a really bad loss to a really bad team, requires some honesty as well. So we're going to do all that today. First, though, a quick reminder off the top, or I guess a quick thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day, even when the Timberwolves lose. And remember that Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. YouTube would be a great way to watch this one. My facial expressions, they're gonna tell you a lot in this one. If the tone of my voice doesn't, the facial expressions are going to help drive the points home. You can also follow the show, of course, on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, and also my account is at bbeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Okay, so we're going to do what we always do in the post-game pod. We're going to go game flow, then we're going to go key takeaways from the Wolves Magic game, and then we'll finish with studs and duds. Before I get to game flow, though, let's just be clear. I mean, the Timberwolves are 3-3. Even coming into this game, if we were all being honest, and I talked about this actually Monday's show, I did some takeaways for the season so far. I wrote about this over the weekend at dunkingwithwolves.com as well. And the key takeaways from the season, yeah, the Wolves were 3-2. Yeah, they beat the Bucks. They destroyed the Rockets in the opener. They had a couple of ugly games against the Pelicans, but 3-2, close loss to the Nuggets on Saturday. But still, my key takeaways for the season so far were largely neutral to negative. They weren't overwhelmingly positive. The only real positive thing, and I said this before the loss on Monday to the Magic, the only real positive thing we could hang our hats on outside of, you know, great health for the team as a whole, which of course that's a whole nother thing after this game now. And it feels silly now, but great health and, you know, much improved defense, obviously, you know, top six defense in the league through the first 10 days. But outside of that, team wasn't shooting the ball that well. The overall offense wasn't very good. They weren't getting to the free throw line. Individual performances were uneven outside of arguably, I guess, Karl Anthony Towns is the only one who really has had any consistency on a night in, night out basis. The rotations were a little bit askew. We could have said all that before Monday. It just seems that much worse because it happened at home to arguably the league's worst team, who should be the league's worst team. In a game, they were up by double digits, as they should have been. But ultimately, they didn't just lose close at the end. Like, remember last year, they lost on a Cole Anthony buzzer beater, which wasn't good. But this wasn't a buzzer beater. They were dominated in the fourth quarter to the tune of 43-19. And that's a major issue. So what I want to try and parse on the show today is what in this game was simply more of the same stuff we've seen over the first five, but taken to an extreme against a bad opponent. Obviously, if they played like this against the Bucks last week, they would have gotten beat by 50. Instead, they beat the Bucks, right? So it's not the exact same, but some of the same issues are still taking place. And what does that mean moving forward? What are the next steps for this team? Is it the same old Wolves? Should you believe all the local folks in the Twin Cities who want you to believe that this is the same old Wolves? Let's talk through this. So we'll start with game flow because I think that's still important. And there really isn't a ton to say here. And so I want to get to key takeaways pretty quickly. But early in the game, the Timberwolves were up after the first quarter. They were actually up six after the first quarter, despite attempting just one free throw to the Magic's 15 in the first quarter. That's right. The Magic attempted 15 first quarter free throws. The Wolves attempted just one. Jaden McDaniels picked up three fouls in the first like 4 minutes of the game. But the Wolves were still up six at the end of the first. They were doing well on the glass. I think Kat and Nasri together had combined for, I believe, 15 of the Wolves' first 26 points, if I'm not mistaken. And Kat had like 9-6 before he even took a break in the first quarter. It looked like this was going to be a double-digit Wolves win. Pretty much wire to wire was kind of the thought process. Second quarter, Orlando, and credit to Jamal Mosley, the rookie head coach for the Magic, they mixed in some zone and it really stopped the Wolves in their tracks. Orlando took a brief lead. The Wolves actually did a pretty good job to close the first half and built the lead back to 5 after it was 6 at the end of the first, got it back to 5 at halftime. The Magic kind of continued using this switching between zone and man. They were mostly playing zone after makes and man after misses on their end of the floor. And the Wolves started the game playing pretty good defense, but the middle stages, second, third quarter of this game, the Magic zone really befuddled the Timberwolves, is probably the best way to put it. And Minnesota just couldn't get into the flow of their offense. There was a couple of, they didn't turn the ball over a ton, but there were a couple of really bad turnovers, miscommunications late in the game, especially. There was a lot of standing, stepping on the baseline or on the sideline. But there were a couple, like Taurean Prince not reversing the ball to Karl Anthony Towns, instead trying to reverse it back towards Beasley, and Beasley was pointing at Towns and wasn't looking and didn't catch the pass. I mean, those types of plays, they add up and then they snowball. When the Magic get hot on the other end, which is also a piece of it, and we'll talk about the Magic here in a minute, then those things seem to compound themselves. So the Wolves are still up 5 going into the fourth quarter, so not in terrible shape. But just the flow wasn't there. Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards were kind of in a weird, like, it looked like they both wanted to take over and were, as a last resort, passing to the other one, but nobody else is really involved in the offense. Weirdly, Jaden McDaniels had a couple of nice moments as a distributor where he got into the paint and made a great pass for an assist. Happened a couple times in the game. But the Ant-Cat dynamic was strange in this one, and it's certainly not pulling the fire alarm time by any means, but it was weird. The Wolves then pushed their lead back to double figures. I think it was early in the fourth quarter, or I guess this was late in the third quarter before it got back down to 5 points at the start of the fourth. And then the Wolves didn't make a shot in the fourth quarter until 3.5 minutes in. Jaden McDaniels hit a corner three. They were down 6 at the time. The three made it a 3-point game. That's as close as they got the rest of the game. I mean, this thing, the 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter on was just miserable for the Timberwolves. The Magic just pushed their lead greater and greater, and it was with about 4.5 minutes left when this, it just felt like it was over. There was no urgency from the Timberwolves. We'll talk more about that. And the Magic, I mean, credit to a couple of their young guys. I mean, I said on Twitter, well, actually, I said this on the podcast on Monday on the Magic preview at the end of the game, the Wolves could keep Cole Anthony from going off and rebound the ball decently well. They should be fine. I said this, I tweeted this out early in the day on Monday. They rebounded the ball okay. They ended up being -4 on the glass and did give up 12 offensive rebounds, but that wasn't the biggest issue in this game. Cole Anthony had 31 points, 6 of 11 outside the arc, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Dang near got a triple-double against the Wolves. And I'm sure Patrick Beverley, who sat the game out, was not on the injury report as of yesterday, but was a game-time decision on Monday. And he ended up not playing. Pat Bev didn't play in this game. And D'Angelo Russell, I didn't mention this as part of the game flow, but he twisted his ankle in the first half, late second quarter, and didn't play in the second half. So no D'Lo, no Patrick Beverley. That meant that Jordan McLaughlin had the keys for quite a while in the second half, didn't play that well. And then Anthony Edwards effectively ran the point guard the rest of the game. And it was a mixed bag, I guess you could say. Wolves couldn't really get into their offense. Cole Anthony had 31, 9, and 8, shot 6 of 11 outside the arc. An efficient 8 of 17 overall, got to the line 11 times. And then you had the younger Wagner brother, Franz Wagner, the rookie, 28 points on 10 of 18 shooting, knocked down 5 threes, had a monster poster dunk in the fourth quarter and a couple of really difficult threes that he made. And it's just the snowball effect. The offense for the Magic, they're making tough shots. The Wolves defensively weren't actually that bad early in the game. Things kind of fell apart. That'll be one of the takeaways. We'll talk about point of attack defense. But the combination of them making difficult shots and getting their confidence, and the Wolves missing easy shots, missing open shots, and, you know, the injuries and missed free throws and all this stuff, it snowballs. And that's what happened in this game. And the Wolves lost to a bad team by 18 points. And now they're at 3-3, 2-3 at home. And suddenly this playing 7 of their first 8 games at home doesn't feel so encouraging. And it's going to look bad late in the season when they've got so many road games to play and they're fighting to get into the play-in late in the season. So we're going to do key takeaways next. I've got three to four of those to put out there. So we're going to get into that here in just a minute. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Prize Picks. All right, NBA fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. And I know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns in the case of football, even interceptions thrown. All users that deposit and use the promo code will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. That's promo code NBA to get that bonus. You can pick 2 to 5 players and over under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks also allows mixed sport entries. You could take the over on LeBron, for instance, combined with the under on Patrick Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com, use the promo code NBA, or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Okay, let's get into key takeaways. Where to start when it comes to key takeaways from this one? Well, let's talk about the defense first. So actually, early in the game, it wasn't awful. The Magic got to the line a bunch. The Wolves had some silly fouls. Towns' second foul, for example, was just a dumb ticky-tack. Shouldn't have gotten his hand in there in the backcourt for no reason foul. Jaden, one of his first three that he picked up three early was a bad foul. There were a couple ticky-tack calls the refs didn't need to make, but the Wolves put themselves in that position early, and that's the only reason that this was a 6-point game. The Wolves, again, they attempted 14 less free throws than the Magic in the first quarter and had a 6-point lead. If the Wolves had just played normal defense and not been really handsy and committed all those fouls, they would have been up double figures easy. It would have been a 12-14-point game, and maybe the Magic aren't so frisky in the second quarter if the Wolves had actually played straight up defense in the first without getting themselves into the penalty or allowing the Magic to get into the penalty, I should say. So the defense actually started out, besides the fouling, it wasn't that terrible. The second quarter defense was okay. The offense was just struggling. But then as the offense continued to struggle, the problems compounded themselves and the defense became worse and worse and worse and worse. Point of attack defense was lazy at times. Anthony Edwards looked like last year's Anthony Edwards and not the version we saw against the Rockets and the Pelicans earlier this season. No Patrick Beverley was obviously a major issue. Torian Prince struggled on both ends of the floor, couldn't contain on defense, couldn't make open shots on offense. Jared Vanderbilt didn't have his best game in this one. I had called in the preview show for lots of Jared Vanderbilt, and considering how bad the Wolves as a whole played, he wasn't awful, but it wasn't his best game. Big J-Mac, got into foul trouble early in this game, as I mentioned earlier, and that was a major problem. So you were asking, the Timberwolves had to ask Torian Prince to play better than he has all year, and he played just as bad as he has the last few games. They asked Jordan McLaughlin to play heavier minutes, and he struggled with point of attack defense. Malik Beasley was the Malik Beasley we're used to seeing, which isn't good on the defensive end of the floor. Anthony Edwards, same thing. And what was pretty good defense early in the game transitioned into just okay defense, into awful defense, into it didn't matter because the Magic were knocking everything down anyway. And that was frustrating because, again, the one thing we could hang our hats on before this game as Timberwolves followers earlier in the season it still is early in the season, over the first five games, was the defense was consistently tenacious. It was consistently good. There was effort. It was legitimately good. Top six defense through the first five games, 10 days of the season. That didn't happen for 48 minutes in this game. It happened for like 22 minutes. And that was about it. Otherwise, this was below average Timberwolves defense, to put it kindly. The offense became really lackadaisical. Now, the struggles against the zone are real. And it's like they didn't, you know, it's like when, I don't know, did anybody else have a middle schooler or like a JV coach that claimed that you should never screen against the zone? I feel like that's a thing that you hear growing up. In a junior high offense, you don't want to screen against the zone. We have to screen against the zone if it's part of your offense. And this is the NBA. You have to screen against the zone to get your shots. The Wolves just panicked. And mixing the zone is an effective tool that defensive coaches or teams can use on defense in the NBA to just throw teams off. Because if it's your changeup, right, if you throw a changeup a handful of times a game, you're likely to get stops because teams just don't know what to do. It's like stealing a possession, essentially. And the Magic just kept going back to it because the Timberwolves could not figure it out. Second quarter is when it was most damaging, but even in the third quarter, the Wolves just kind of looked lost. It's like they didn't know what to do. They weren't sure where to set screens. There was one possession where this was in the second quarter, Towns just dribbled up, and the Magic were essentially in what was basically a 2-3 zone, and nobody picked Towns up at the top of the key, and he just knocked down a straightaway three-pointer. They could have done that probably every time down the court, and the Magic were just kind of daring the Timberwolves to attack the zone with their regular offense, and they wouldn't do it. They just kind of passed the ball around the perimeter, sometimes got an open shot, but it was effective. The Magic's defense was still effective because the Wolves were missing open shots, which leads me into my next point, missing open shots. The offense, as lackadaisical as it was, and as, Ant wanting to take over and then at the last second giving Towns a hot potato or vice versa, because it happened both ways, or in the first half, D'Angelo Russell was guilty of this as well before he went out with the injury. The open shots were just being missed. I mean, there were plenty of open shots. Malik Beasley shot 3 of 12 outside the arc. Anthony Edwards, 2 of 8. That's a combined 5 of 20. 25% is not going to get it done from your your second and fourth offensive options, or second and third offensive options once Russell's out of the game, in Edwards and Beasley. Does not cut it. And that, to me, is the most surprising thing. The Wolves' offense for the first four-ish games was not cohesive. It started to get better against the Bucks. I actually thought the offensive, and I talked about this on the postgame pod on Saturday night and then again on Monday, the Wolves' offense looked better on Saturday in the loss to the Nuggets. They just missed open shots. Functionally, it was better. For chunks of this game, it was still okay, and they were generating open shots, basically against the man defense that the Magic were playing. They were still generating open shots. They were just missing them. And then when the Magic went to zone, the Timberwolves just forgot what they were doing and very rarely actually got great shots. But when they did, they didn't make them. As a team, the Timberwolves shot 37.1% from the floor, 27.5% from three-point range, and 57.9% from the free throw line. I mean, it's what's the opposite of a 50-40-90 season or game for the Timberwolves? They shot 37-27-58 in this game. I'm not going to calculate the effective field goal percentage or the true shooting percentage of the team in this one, but ugly. Jordan McLaughlin, another one, 1 for 5. D'Angelo Russell, 1 for 5. So actually, you take out Towns, who is 4 of 8 from deep, and this was just a miserable, miserable shooting performance. Torian Prince, 1 for 5. Man, when you read the individual numbers, it's even worse than the overall 27.5% as a team. And then the last thing is the lack of, I don't want to say lack of effort, certainly lack of energy. And I think effort's maybe a fair word to use. Really throughout the game, especially the second half, and I would underscore the middle part of the fourth quarter when things were slipping away. And you could kind of see it happening in slow motion. And Beasley hit a three and he did the, arms in the air. Ah, finally I made one. And it just kind of like, it rang hollow. Like, okay, but what happens the next time down the floor? And sure enough, I think a three rimmed out for Anthony Edwards, as it did so often on this night. And it just never really felt like the Wolves were in it to win it, as weird as that sounds. This was just a big thud. And, obviously Patrick Beverley being out hurts. I'm sure it was somewhat deflating to have D'Angelo Russell out with the sprained ankle, but come on. The effort level late in the game was disheartening, to say the least. And hopefully it's going to be fascinating, really, to see how the Wolves respond on Wednesday against the Clippers. And Pat Bev hopefully will play in that game. I'm sure he'll want to against his former team. And who knows, I'm speculating, but maybe him sitting out this one was like, we'll beat the Magic without Beverly. This way he can come back. He gets his 4 days of rest and he can play against his former teammates, against the Clippers on Wednesday. Who knows? I don't know. The Cowboys thought they could do the same thing against the Vikings, and it worked out, playing Cooper Rush instead of Dak Prescott on Sunday. And not that Patrick Beverley is Dak Prescott, but I guess that's the analogy I'm making here. And it worked out for them. Did not work out for the Wolves in this one. They certainly overlooked the Magic and it bit them. All right, I want to close by talking individual studs and duds. That's how we'll finish the show here today. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Shopify. In case you didn't know, Shopify is a complete commerce platform that lets you start, grow, and manage a business. The subscription-based software allows anyone to set up an online store and sell their products. Shopify store owners can also sell in physical locations using Shopify POS, our point-of-sale app, and accompanying hardware. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstart startups and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility, and Shopify helps you make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses from first sale to full scale, reaching customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. It allows you to gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA. all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. shopify.com/lockedonNBA. Let's also talk about our friends over at betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football to basketball, baseball postseasons, NHL, boxing to UFC, right on down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Again, it's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All right, let's go ahead and talk individual studs and duds from this one. So, man, it's actually difficult to pick a stud for this game for the Timberwolves. Karl-Anthony Towns actually did not have a bad game. So he's really the only one that deserves that in this game. And I'm gonna this is quickly kind of morphing from three studs and two duds into just how I'm just gonna call it as I see it, how this game turns out. Cat was the only really good player on the floor for the Wolves in this one. I mean, he wasn't perfect, but 23, 16, and 6, 8 of 17 shooting, a hair under 50%, 4 of 8 outside the arc, 6 assists to just 2 turnovers, 2 steals in this game. 3 of 7 at the line was obviously terrible, and his 3 makes were all, he missed his first 4 attempts when the game was still in the balance, and basically the game is over when he missed his last 3. So that wasn't good. But take out the free throw shooting, and he was ultra efficient. And if he shoots his regular 6 of 7 or 7 of 7 from the line, we're talking about a 27, 28-point game, 16 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Compared to everyone else on the Wolves, he was fantastic. It's another example where he had the worst plus-minus. Plus-minus is noisy. Don't pay too much attention to single-game plus-minus. He had the worst of the Wolves in this game. He was their best player, easily, by far. We're talking duds in this game. This is a lot easier. I'm going to start with D'Angelo Russell, not trying to kick him while he's down. I know he had the sprained ankle late in the first half and didn't come out of the locker room at halftime or after halftime, but he was horrendous again in the first half. And again, he was plus 15, the Wolves' best plus minus player, because he left. He was on the court when the Wolves built their first quarter lead. But 3 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 5 from the line, or excuse me, from the 3-point line. It did not get to the free throw line. Had a turnover in his 17 minutes. Another difficult watch for D'Angelo Russell. Second one for me is Malik Beasley. He was good on Saturday against his former team, the Nuggets. Remember, you know, bad first 4 games of the season. Good game against his former team Saturday. This game, 11 points on 16 shots, 4 of 16 shooting, 3 of 12 outside the arc. If you have 16 shot attempts and don't go to the free throw line a single time, that's not good. He at one point passed out of an open corner 3, did not look confident in any way at all. Catch and shoot. He even tried shooting off the dribble some early in the game. Did not end well. He did have 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal, but he turned it over twice. 32 minutes was actually 3rd on the team in minutes played. Just another difficult game for Malik Beasley. The third dud in this one's going to be Jordan McLaughlin. He was put in a tough spot. Ended up being the Wolves' only point guard available. Strangely, Jalen Noel did not get any run while the Wolves' offense continued to sputter. By the way, 4 out of 6 games now, the Wolves have failed to crack 100 points. Patrick Beverley out with the calf, D'Angelo Russell out with the ankle, McKinley Wright with the G League team, not available, the two-way player and presumably fourth string point guard. So it was down to Jordan McLaughlin as the only true point guard on the roster. They could have given Landry Balmaro some, they're probably not going to throw him into the rotation in a regular season game and say run the offense yet. Jalen Noel would have been an option. Anthony Edwards did end up running the offense quite a bit in the second half, but McLaughlin struggled. 2 of 7 shooting, did have 4 assists to only 1 turnover, but 1 of 5 outside the arc. And defensively, he kind of got lost in the wash a little bit, you know, with the Magic running some pretty decent for an offense that had been mediocre, still better than the Wolves coming into this game. 21st in offensive rating coming into the game. The Wolves were 23rd, and they've gone opposite directions, obviously, after this game. Some solid pick and roll action run by the Magic, and McLaughlin just kind of chased the ball around and didn't ever really get into a rhythm defensively. Had a couple of cheap fouls called on him. Just a disappointing performance for J-Mac, admittedly in a tough spot. Anthony Edwards didn't hit either category for me in this one. He had a bit of a roller coaster, had some explosive plays, made a couple, you know, rebounded the ball well, 6 boards in 37 minutes, couple of steals, 3 assists. Did okay running the offense when given the keys late in the game, but this was the sort of game where Ant, he just never got hot outside the arc. 2 of 8 shooting threes, didn't look to attack the rim enough early. And then late in the game, he couldn't figure out how to do it against the zone, or I should say third, early fourth quarter. And that was kind of it. Anthony Edwards just had a so-so game. And when Cat is the only other guy that came to play, then that hurts quite a bit. Jaden McDaniels did play well, other than his 6 personal fouls. He fouled out in just 17 minutes, but he had a couple of nice passes offensively, a couple of steals, looked good defensively minus the fouls, but the foul trouble was a major issue. Naz Reid was great in the first quarter, not so much in his stint later in the game. It's just, again, going back to what I said early in the show, this was sobering, to be sure. I think earning a split against the Clippers later this week is probably realistic as well. So this team might be 4-4, headed out on the road for a difficult West Coast road trip at Memphis. The Lakers are upcoming. It doesn't get easier. This was the easiest stretch of the season. Home games against teams like the Magic and the Rockets, and 2 against the Pelicans. And look at it this way. Yes, they beat the Bucks on the road, but Rockets, Magic, Pelicans twice. The Wolves go 2-2 in those 4 games. Not what they wanted to do, I think, to put it lightly. All right. We're going to have a Wednesday show, of course. We're going to preview the game Wednesday night. We'll talk about any other fallout from this game, from Wolves Magic on Monday, and then we'll flush it. I don't want to talk about it ever again. Hopefully we don't have to have this kind of disheartening post-game pod very frequently this season. It became more regular last year. Hopefully we get away from that quickly with Wolves Clippers Wednesday. So be sure you're subscribed and following this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Remember, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. If you don't want to look at my face while you listen to the show, you can also listen on Apple, Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that Locked On Wolves is, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.